Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of John Jones talk. A lot of talk about the possibility of Anderson Silva, which I don't know if that's become official yet, or I saw a tweet that it wasn't quite done yet.
Yeah, so, not looking. The UFC hasn't officially announced it yet, so that's kind of what you're waiting on.
Yeah. So, but that is certainly a possibility. Talked a little bit about Dwayne Wade. I kind of want to get into some Astros, but I got some college football stuff, all kinds of stuff to get to.
I saw the best idea that I've seen yet is if they would do it like WWE, and they keep his opponent a secret until they announce, like DC walks out.
Yeah.
And then someone's music starts playing, and they walk out, and the crowd goes all crazy.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But they won't do that because they've got to get a name for
I know, but, reviews, it, but that would they've got to do weigh-ins.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
But maybe that's where they could do it, at weigh-ins, right?
Well, do a secret weigh-in for the guy.
Well, they've been doing secret weigh-ins all week long. They've been doing weigh-ins, like Derek Lewis weighed in yesterday. The weigh-in show was in the evening like it normally is.
Yeah.
The actual weigh-ins were earlier in the day. So when you watch the weigh-ins on the actual televised weigh-ins, dudes are getting on the scale in sweatpants. You know, they got their cell phones in their pocket. They don't really care. And, like, before they even settle on the scale, the guy will announce their weight and they'll flex, knowing that rehydrated 6 hours ago at this point. So it's very awkward now, so they would lose a little bit of the excitement of it, but maybe they could keep it a secret from everyone except for, you know.
You know, that would be badass, though. I mean, yeah. that would be awesome, and that's the kind of thing I could see Dana latching onto, especially for an event this big.
It'd also be awesome if, and I bet Jon will back me on this, if after, let's say Anderson Silva takes the fight afterwards, CM Punk cashes in his money in the bank and it gets a title shot there, right? Is that how that would work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. See? Jon knows his stuff. On the flights, if you get a recliner in front of you, what is the play from Cowboy Bill? I shouldn't get one because I forked over my Belmont winnings to get first class, so I wouldn't have to deal with that.
The play is push your knee into the back of the chair and act like you got like violent leg shakes, like almost like a Tourette's thing, and you just can't stop.
Epilepsy.
Yeah, that's fine. And they may look back at you and say, "Can you stop shaking your leg?" And look them dead in the eye and say, "Nope." That's the move.
Or I'll just kind of do the, it rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
I want them to know why I'm shaking my leg. I want them to say, "Nope. This is what I do when someone reclines their seat on an airplane."
I'm just going to go to my Walmart crazy voice and see how that works. Nah, I don't have to worry about that on this, fortunately. So, yeah,
if it's too bad, just go occupy the bathroom and sit in there until they put the seatbelt sign back on and then go back to your seat. There will be a long line outside and everyone will hate you, but you won't have to sit behind a recliner.
Nah, I am not worried. I'm not worried about this one.
Well, I don't mean for you. Yeah. I thought I was giving him advice, advice.
Yeah. Well, no, when we're flying to Vegas and it's a 3-hour flight, fine, I'll deal with the recliners. But this is going to be 6 hours one way and 6 hours the other. And I'm not messing with those damn recliners for that. All right, I promised you some odds. And get a little college football talk in. The odds to win each conference. I'm going to let you guess the favorite, and then I'll give you the odds.
Okay.
We'll start with the AAC. where the favorite is.
It has to be Cougs.
It is Cougs. Even money.
Even money.
Even money for the University of Houston. Second choice is South Florida at 7-2. Actually, I think even money is a little too low. I think they win that conference, but Greg Ward gets hurt or something.
Yeah, could have. Yeah, they're in trouble.
South Florida 7-2. Cincinnati 11-2. The value I like here is Temple at 15-2. Really, there's nobody else.
What's Navy?
Navy is 11-1, but they lost that quarterback.
Oh yeah,
they're good, but that kid was incredible. And for SMU fan, you're 75-1.
Nice.
Tulane is 200-1.
Is that the worst?
Yes.
That's what I should also guess is the worst odds in each conference.
All right. Well, okay. We can split up the ACC divisions, or we can just do the conference.
Let's just do the conference.
Okay. The favorite is?
I'm going to guess Clemson, slight favorite over Florida State.
Pretty much. Clemson 3-2. Florida State 9-4 is your second favorite. Just to give you the round off the top five, Miami 9-1, Louisville 10-1, North Carolina 10-1. Who is the worst team in the ACC?
This is a tough call. I want to say, my heart wants to say Wake Forest. My head says Boston College.
Boston College 100-1. Congratulations.
What's Wake Forest? Is it close?
75. They're part of a three-horse entry at 75-1 with Syracuse and Virginia.
Okay.
All right. Big Ten to win the championship.
I read somewhere today that Michigan is favored, but I can't imagine that's true. So I'll say Ohio State.
You would have been right with either one because they're both 7-4.
Wow. Okay.
So Michigan and Ohio State co-favorites.
You know, I've been saying Michigan's about to hit their stride, but
it seems a year early.
I'm going with that.
Here's where I think your value is, because they're always there. Michigan State 7-1.
Okay.
Iowa 9-1. You can have that all day. Nebraska 9-1. You can have. And Wisconsin 14-1.
Man, Wisconsin, their over under wins is like 8.
Yeah.
And they do nothing but win 10 games.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Care to guess who has the longest odds?
It has to be Rutgers. They're the worst.
Actually, you would have also been right to say Purdue. They're both 100-1.
Okay.
All right, we move on to the Big 12, where your favorite is
Oklahoma.
Yeah, and less than even money. They're 2-3. One of the biggest favorites on the board. So Oklahoma 2-3, Oklahoma State 5-1.
Frog
5-1.
Where's Baylor fall? That's
Baylor
what I want to know.
Baylor is fourth choice at 8-1.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. And you don't have to tell me who's last. We all know it's Kansas.
It's always Kansas.
250-1.
Woo.
The longest odds we've seen yet.
What's Bevo?
Bevo is 17-2. Might be a little value in that.
Yeah, I'd like a little more.
Yeah.
I'd like 10, maybe 12.
Yeah, but and frankly, shouldn't their odds be a little bit better considering that Baylor's 8?
Yeah, that's strange.
Anyway.
I'd argue that Texas has a better chance than Baylor.
All right, now I'm really going to test your college football knowledge. Conference USA.
Southern Miss.
9-4. Longest shot on the board.
I don't know.
You had three choices. Charlotte.
UTSA.
North Texas and UTSA. All 101.
I should have just spit it out there, but I was like, UTSA's been better, but
well, but all those coaching changes and everything. Rice 20-1, by the way.
All right.
In case you're curious there. And UTEP fans, you're 25.
Sorry, UTEP fan.
All right. How about the MAC?
I'll go Western Michigan.
You would be correct.
Cool.
I thought you pretty much run the table on the favorites. 5-2 for Western Michigan. Northern Illinois and Toledo, both 11-2 second choices. Longest shot on the board.
My heart says Eastern Michigan, but my head says Ball State.
This is one you should have trusted your heart. Eastern Michigan, 100-1.
Bollocks.
Ball State, 40-1. All right.
We're wasting people's time with these stupid conferences.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Oh, so there's four people out there that care.
Okay.
And people are going to bet on this crap anyway. Mountain West.
Has to be Boise.
Yeah, 5-4. Slightly more than even money. Your longest shot?
Wyoming.
You would have been correct with either Wyoming or Hawaii.
Okay.
50-1. Remember when Hawaii used to be good?
Hawaii was good.
That used to be one of the best bets.
Wyoming was decent for a while.
That used to be one of the best bets ever, was teams going out to Hawaii when they were 25-point dogs and at home, and they would always cover. Okay. Pac-12. This one is probably...
This is difficult. That's
this
a tough
This is the most open one out of all of them.
I'm going to go... I've got three teams in mind.
Okay.
My three teams are Stanford, USC, and UCLA. And I've been saying all along, I think USC is the team. But I think UCLA probably has the best odds.
Stanford is your favorite at 3-1.
Yes.
You were close. UCLA's second favorite at 7-2. Washington is your third favorite at 4-1. Oregon and USC both 11-2.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I understand with the coaching change why USC is down there a little bit. But to me, you can throw those first five up in the air. And
I'm with you.
And frankly,
you can get down to Utah even. I think
Utah's 12-1.
Okay.
So if you can go that deep, I'm taking those bottom three. I'm not taking Stanford, UCLA, or Washington. I'm taking the 11-2s and Utah. And last place or longest odds?
It's always been Colorado, but I feel like Oregon State's pretty bad too.
You would have been right with either one. They're both 50-1. So there you go. And finally, SEC. That's pretty easy.
It has to be Alabama.
Alabama's the 7-4 favorite. LSU 7-2. Tennessee 7-2. And interesting though, when you get to the bottom, there's a name at the bottom of the conference.
At the very bottom?
Not at the very bottom.
But Vanderbilt's at the very bottom, right?
Vanderbilt's 100-1, yes.
So a surprise second to?
Yes. A team that I would not have thought would be 66-1.
South Carolina?
It's South Carolina.
Yeah. Times are hard there, man.
Yeah. Mississippi State is 50-1. Missouri 50-1. Kentucky 50-1.
Okay.
And I can understand Mississippi State because of that side of the conference.
Missouri at 50-1 for a team that seems like they win the SEC East almost every year.
That might be worth a few bucks.
It's not the worst thing. What's the number on good old Ag?
Let's see if you can guess the number on Aggie. This is to win the conference, not to win the SEC West.
My guess is probably 20-1.
Actually, this is kind of odd. They're 14-1 to win the West. They're only 16-1 to win the whole thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
20-1 should have been the number. I should have been right.
And we don't need to do the Sun Belt.
No.
Would you like to guess who's going to be who has the longest odds in the Sun Belt? It has some interest to a lot of our listeners.
Is it Texas State?
It is Texas State, 100-1.
Wow. Times are hard there, too.
Yeah.
Who's a favorite to win while we're at
Appalachian? And Arkansas State, both 9-4.
Okay.
And then followed closely by Georgia Southern. So
I almost just said ASU, so I would have been right either
way. Yeah, yeah. Well,
that'd have been
technically
smart.
There you go.
That would have been wise. I did pretty good at that game, though. You got to admit.
Yeah, you did.
Besides the Pac-12, that was
well. But then if you want to, I mean, if you look at it, all of the ones that you got right had pretty, they had pretty obvious favorites. The Pac-12 is all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thanks for killing my vibe.
No, I'm just saying that's
proud of myself and you're deflating
my
balloon.
No, I think you did great. You got a lot of the last place ones too, which is. Man, that's
more of a challenge, right?
You named last in the Sun Belt. Come on, give yourself some credit.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, I had to do some college football.
It's been a while.
Had to happen, man.
I like it.
All right, quick break. A lot more to go. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. And for those of you, you know what? One thing I could never do is would be on MLB Tonight, where you have to sit here and analyze everyone who's going to be in the Home Run Derby when they announce it.
When is that announced?
It has been announced. Here are your matchups. Mark Trumbo versus Corey Seager.
Oh, I love Corey Seager, but I got to go Trumbo on the homers.
Robinson Cano versus Giancarlo Stanton.
You kind of have to go with Stanton.
Todd Frazier versus Carlos Gonzalez. That's your 2-7 matchup.
Give me Frazier, cargo slumping recently.
And,
I know because he anchors my fantasy team.
Your 3-6 is Adam Duvall versus Will Myers.
Give me Big Willie.
Okay, he's a 6. So okay. that's an upset pick. Yeah. Stanton is actually 5 and Cano is 4. And, of course, Trumbo is a 1 seed. So
Cano has the best swing in baseball, I think, right?
I think so.
It's beautiful.
When he's on, especially. And his swing is just tailor-made for this kind of thing. Okay, here we go. We're analyzing the damn contest, which I said I hoped I never had to do. But
what a life we've got.
Yeah. Home Dudes asks how many Law & Order episodes you're going to watch while you're in Canada. Oh, my God. I hope my father-in-law has moved on to a different show. So... anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Good response to the college football stuff. You know, you can't go wrong with college football.
People like that.
Mom was asking if you guys hit on the Astros today. I certainly had them on my list to get to at some point this hour. You know, good win last night. It's funny how many people were melting down because Gregerson was in the ninth, but Harris had pitched 3 straight days, yeah. So you couldn't use him. But, hey, they get the sweep. They're 6.5 back. And, you know, hanging into the wild card race, I think getting excited about the division is still about a month away, in my opinion. And to be honest, they might be a better team than the Rangers, but they can't beat the Rangers. And they haven't for 2 years. This isn't just something that happens this year.
It's not going to be a fully loaded Rangers squad.
Doesn't matter. They could try you and me out there and beat the Astros.
That's possible.
I mean, that's the one thing.
I'm a brilliant talent, though.
Well, that's the only thing that would give me pause if... I'm trying to think, they got a chance to catch up and win the division. I mean, 6.5 games is very easy to do, especially this time of year. But, you know, realistically, what do we say? They have 9 more games with them? That's you can make up a lot of ground in those games. But, and again, this is a 2-year trend. This isn't just this year that they haven't played the Rangers well.
I saw Delotti tweeted today. I followed David Delotti on Twitter. And I saw him say, we need to start the movement to get Alex Bregman into the major leagues already. And, you know, he said, if we don't do that, we've got to get a bat. And we talked about this before. I honestly think, and he said, put A.J. Reed and Evan Gattis into a platoon role at DH. But in my opinion, if the right deal is there and you can get an established player for Alex Bregman... I think you make that move.
Yeah,
like whether it be whether it be a bat like Carlos Gonzalez, who asked to be traded today apparently, or Ryan Braun, or if you can get, and obviously I said this last year, if you could get a guy like Chris Sale, I would have thrown every prospect the Astros had at him. But if you have a chance to get a guy like that, I think you do it. The White Sox unfortunately started out a little better than we expected this year, so they're not all the way out of it yet, but I think they will
and
be.
And that's one of the... I mean, the positives to the wild card is that you have more teams involved. The negatives is you have more teams involved, and so
that aren't willing to trade off their
exactly,
their players.
Exactly. But the thing is, I think Mike Fiers has not pitched well lately. That's something that's might start becoming a little bit of a concern. But you know what? You still got Feldman hanging around there as your swing guy, and. When he's healthy, I mean, the guy's been able to eat up innings. So
right.
I don't mind if you have to make that switch. I'd love to get
if you can,
a number
I'm
one.
I'm saying if you can get a number one. If you can get a Chris Sale, Alex Bregman is a nice prospect, and he looks good in AAA, but remember, so did Brett Wallace, and so did John Singleton.
Yeah, and I know. And everybody loves him because we got a bunch of LSU fans, and this guy's going to be great.
Yeah, but if you can get Chris Sale, a guy who you can pitch in a wild card game, or pitch twice in a 7-game series, you've got to do that. You've got to. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
And I think he's under team control.
He's under a couple of years. Very team-friendly contract.
But
which is why you'd have to give up somebody like Bregman to get him.
Right, right. But I would do that, certainly, because I mean that's why you have prospects. You know, I mean, prospects are still prospects until they actually get there and do something. Now... I think the more important thing to get is going to be an arm as opposed to a bat. If you can get one of those big bats, great. I'd love to see that. But if you do decide you're going to bring this kid up, there's a lot of things. I think you can move, you know, you can move Valbuena to first and put A.J. Reed as a DH and you know, quit trotting Evan Gattis out there. Just let him be your catcher, your platoon with Castro. Because I don't like both those guys in the lineup at the same time.
No. So, I feel like, honestly, Jason Castro should be the backup catcher and Evan Gattis should be the starting catcher.
I'd be okay with that, but make those your catchers and You know, that way, if you want to try to get the kid's bat in the lineup, you can do it. And if he doesn't work out, you can go back to what you got. But and you know, maybe now is the time to actually think about it because you have some time before the trade deadline and see if he can come up and be effective. But you know, realistically, if you can get a top, I mean, a 1-3 pitcher. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be able to get the ace, but if you can get a guy who's a 1, 2, or 3, you got to make a move.
I'll tell you what, one of the guys, the guy they're going to see tonight, actually, Rich Hill, is a guy who's very likely to be traded, left-hander, and has been very good this year on a bad team in Oakland. I don't know if the Astros are going to be, and again, that's not a guy that I would give up an Alex Bregman for either.
No.
But it's a guy that I wouldn't be opposed to bringing in as an arm.
Yeah, and that may be what you wind up with. It obviously depends on what the competition is, because there's going to be other teams. I guarantee you the Red Sox and Blue Jays are going to throw a lot
of
prospects.
They're looking for these guys, too.
At top-line pitchers, you're going to be competing with them. And they're not afraid to spend money either, and so they'll take on big contracts. So I think, and that's just in the American League.
Yeah.
But, I think it's fun that they're in this position. But, you know, realistically, I'm still seeing them as a serious wild card contender. I think until they show me they can beat the Rangers, I can't take them seriously for winning the division. Because even if they make all this ground up, if you go 2-7 against them, guess what? You know, you just lost 5 games.
Right.
So, that's the difference between those two teams right now. If you look at the records, is that the Rangers are 9-1 against them. And, yeah, and like I said, if it were just this year, I'd say, okay, maybe they could turn that around. But it's one of those weird things, man. Everybody has a team like that sometimes. It just kicks your butt. You'd like for them not to be in your division. But anyway, but it is fun to see them playing better. I don't know if they can keep this pace up either, though. As bad as they were early, I mean, they've been terrific here over the last couple months. And, you know, I it's just same thing with the Rangers. I don't know if they can keep that pace going either.
Well, the Rangers also supposedly Yu Darvish is healthy.
Yeah.
And we'll see how long that'll last.
Yeah, I'll go over under 3 starts.
Okay.
That's kind of
high hopes.
Yeah. Dustin says, I can see Alex Bregman for sale, but not a 32-year-old Braun. Yeah. I'll take the guy that I know can help me right now over a guy who might be really good in a couple of years.
Yeah, and not to mention, I mean, Ryan Braun, who is he's in that final vote, so he's not an all-star, but he's having an all-star type season, having his best season in like the last 3 or 4 years. And a guy who's under contract for the next 3 years, you're talking about he would show up and be the best. He'd be the best power bat in this lineup.
Yeah, how much of a difference would that make to have a guy like that? Because suddenly you can put Correa hitting in front of him. Now you don't pitch around Correa.
If you have Altuve Correa or Altuve Braun Correa or Altuve Correa Braun, you can't pitch around guys. And George Springer's nice, but he's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Don't get Astros fans started on George Springer. He's a second right now for
behind Saunders, who
also was having a fantastic year.
Yeah, all these
except
guys
for that 19 inning game against the Indians when he was 0-7 with 5 strikeouts.
I guess my thing with Springer is everyone keeps saying he's been great since they moved him to the top of the order, which he has been. But let's not pretend like he didn't suck for the whole first half of the season or the first half of what they've played so far, because he did. He was awful. And, you know, I like that he's hot right now.
And well, he's been streaky his entire career.
That's what I'm
saying. You want to see when a guy goes from being a good player to a really good or great player is they have more of those streaks. And they're more sustained when they have them. So that you look up at the end of the year, they're hitting .295, .300, and not .260. And, you know, I think if his home run and RBI production can stay where it is, you can live with .260. But if you want to make that transition, I think you need to get in that .290, .300 range if you want to talk about
it. And not only that, but, I mean, you'd still have Springer. Imagine having Springer and a legit bat in left field that's not going to strike out 200 times in a season,
man.
You know?
And I just don't know that the Astros, I'll say it, until they show me they'll take on a contract like Ryan Braun's, I don't know that they'll do it. I'm not really convinced. And I was one of those guys all along. What I've said is, hey, you know what? They haven't been good enough to go out and get somebody. Well, you're good enough now. And, you know, that is, I mean, yeah, he's under control, but it's also a pretty big contract. Prove to me you're going to do it.
Yeah. 5-year, $105 million is what's left on Ryan Braun's deal, including a $15 million mutual option for 2021 that can be bought out for $4 million.
I'm guessing by then you would buy it out.
Yeah, but hell.
It's not my money to spend, but I would spend it. And, yeah, I know it's – sometimes you fall in love with these guys.
Ryan Braun with those Crawford boxes, I'd probably fall in love with it.
Yeah, but I know everybody has already fallen in love with Alex Bregman, even though 95% of the fans haven't actually seen him.
Oh, that's the truth. And he hit two home runs in AAA. And to that I'd say, well, Ryan Braun – hit two home runs in the big leagues last week and is also a former MVP of the league.
And he's obviously found a much better masking agent. So
yeah,
whatever it is.
That figured out.
Yeah, he maybe should have told John Jones that, huh? All right, guys, got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. Terrific place. Every day they change lives. These are great kids. Kids who get a second chance. Kids who had to drop out of school for a variety of reasons. Family reasons. They had to get jobs. Kids involved. All kinds of things happen. And they go to Houston Can Academies, and they get a second chance. And not just that, Houston Can Academies works around them. If they have a job, they'll work around their schedule. And that helps these kids get through and graduate. And not only that, they'll get them glasses if they need that, transportation, even a warm meal. I mean, they do what they can to help these kids. And it's just such a great, great school. I got a chance to go over there and see some of these kids and what they do for them to help them go through and do great things in their lives. And so many of them would have never had that opportunity. Well, this is where you come in. You can help. Right now, more than ever, your donation's needed because that's what that money goes to, is to help these kids. And by your donation, pretty much any vehicle that you got. It doesn't matter if it's running. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It can be anything. And they will come and tow it free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They fill out all the paperwork. They take care of everything. And if you donate today, just talking to the Astros, well, guess what? They're going to give you Astros tickets as well. All you have to do is give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. And, guys, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Lake Charles, if you're in Vidor, if you're in Beaumont, they will come and take care of it for you, and boom, done, easy. And I also, just to mention, it's not just cars. They'll take motorcycles, SUVs, trucks, motorhomes, jet skis, tractors, trailers, forklifts, vans, any of those things. If you don't need them anymore, make that phone call. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is, everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify. There's someone's head off.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 832 asks, other than Correa, who was the last Astros prospect that panned out and who was the last big bust? Well, I'd say Springer has panned out, but he's not.
He's not what people thought he might be.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he got called up and people were telling me he's the next Mike Trout, which he's not.
No. Jonathan Singleton's, I think, your last big bust. And they had a bunch of pitchers. If you remember, they went through that stretch with a bunch of guys that were supposed to be great that were never anything. And 713 says, Jim Crane isn't willing to spend that much money on an aging star like Ryan Braun, which, yeah, I have that question too. But you know what?
At what point do you do that? I mean, the Astros, based on what they did last year, what they look like they're able to do this year, you're kind of getting to that spot where...
Put your money where your mouth is.
Now this is what Jim Crane always said, is when they show me that they're a team to invest in, then I'll invest.
Right.
I mean, what the Astros have shown, this team is a couple pieces away. I mean, make something happen.
Yeah. And... as far as him being an aging star, everybody's aging.
Yeah, he's 32.
That's one of my favorite phrases. Oh, he's aging. You know what? Carlos Correa is aging. Guess what? He's a day older today than he was yesterday.
Apparently, reports are that the Brewers, because they know that there are people who may not be interested in taking on Braun's contract.
Right.
That's a lot of money. But to sweeten that pot, they are apparently willing to offer Jonathan Lucroy, who just happens to be probably the best hitting catcher in the National League. So if you could add a 300 bat who's going to hit 20 home runs and probably knock in 85 runs from your catcher position and add a left fielder, we can admit, catcher and left field are the worst producing numbers for this team, right? Well, the cargo in center field has been pretty awful this year, but...
Yeah.
Over the last year, that was easily the two worst. Catcher and left field, to me, it's a no-brainer.
A lot of people asking for CFL plays. I don't have any real strong opinions tonight. I think BC covers against Toronto, and I like the over on that. And then I might lean Winnipeg to cover the 9 against your Ticats.
All right.
But no real strong plays. 713-780-ESPN. You know what's going to be cool is when I'm gone. Yeah, you know what? The texters who are being totaled the dickweeds today, you better get it out of your system because AJ doesn't read these things when I'm gone.
Oh, yeah. So, good luck, guys.
There you go.
Everybody's going to think they're blocked because I don't read your text. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So, yeah, hate me all you want, but you at least you...
Now's your chance.
That little collection of you will miss me when I'm gone.
Someone will read it, at least.
Yeah.
You guys are going to spend all that time texting, and I'm never going to see it. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's always fun. Did you see the story about this Canadian dude that punched a bear in the face?
Yeah. What happened? Did the bear hit back?
It was very strange. He just says apparently, it says most bears are right-handed. He knows the bears pretty well. 300-pound black bear gave it a bloody nose.
Really?
So the
black
mother bear
just walked away?
Apparently, he said she turned around and was snorting blood. And he looked at me. I thought, oh, no, here it comes. And then he gets an uppercut and knocks it down. Mm. So knocks the bear out, basically. Bear gets up and leaves. And
is there a witness to this story?
Well, I don't know.
Because, Fred, I got to tell you something. I played golf this morning. I hit 2 hole-in-ones on par fours. No one was there to watch it, but I did it.
Apparently, this guy is around him all the time, so it's not that big of a shock. But he says, sometimes black bears get a really bad rap. Probably they're more afraid of you and me than we are of them. Well, if you're going to punch him in the nose.
How old is this dude?
61 years old.
I don't believe that story. That's a farce. That guy's a liar.
Well,
I'll tell him to his face, eh?
You should listen to the audio of it. It's like 6 minutes long, though, which is too long.
Unless there's video of him punching a bear in the face, nah, I'm not buying it.
Tanner says,
are a liar.
It's like a millennial's nightmare having the read receipts on but never replying. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, there'll be people ready to pull their hair out and crash off the road because... Why aren't you reading my text? Why aren't you reading my text?
Because
he doesn't read all of them.
No. Nope. Let me say this, just to make it even worse for him. I might read the text in the next couple weeks. Or I might not.
Do you even know how to sign on to the text line?
No, you have to, like, download something. I don't want to do
it's
that.
It's a pain in the ass. It really is. It's almost not worth it, but...
No, it's definitely not worth it to me. I don't know how long we've had access to text, but... I've never taken the time to put it on my laptop.
Well, it's. I can show you how to do it if you want.
No. Well, how about this? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
832 says, longtime Blitzer can have a birthday shout-out. Love the show. Sure, but you didn't give us your name. So.
Happy birthday, longtime Blitzer.
Yeah, we'll call you. We'll call you LTB. That'll work. But, I find it very interesting that, you know, it is kind of funny how the conversation on the Astros has changed in a couple months. Because it's like, how do you start selling off these guys when they got off to the start they did? But should be very interesting. I wanted to ask you about this. We talked about the Dwayne Wade thing. If you're Hassan Whiteside, How do you feel about something like that? I mean, you just...
Not great.
And I know he tweeted out...
But that's something you've always got to consider, man. I would hope that he talked to him.
Yeah, I would guess. I hope these guys talk, because if not, you know, DeAndre Jordan last year didn't... He agreed and then changed his mind. Yep. I wonder if you're a player and you think and you thought all along that the guy was going to be back.
Well, aren't they on the signing period now where they're actually signing contracts?
They are now, but...
Okay.
I don't know if he's done it yet. So, I mean, that would make me reconsider something like that. If I'm on a team, I'm expecting it to be... Now, not that they were going to win anything anyway, but if I was expecting to be playing with Dwayne Wade...
I'd also have to consider, what are your other options?
He had a lot of them before that.
Before that, but now times changed, and, you know, I know he was... Dallas was one of the teams he was looking at. Dallas doesn't have room for him now.
Nope.
So, it's a matter of what's changed since you made that decision, and where, because you could say, you know what, I'm leaving. I'm not going to sign with you guys. I'm going to sign a max deal somewhere else, and then the only team that can afford to keep you at a max price is Sacramento, and then you're stuck out there. It could be worse than being in Miami, trust me. Miami, I think, will rebuild, you know. There's some franchises, when they lose their top guys, you're just like, well... it was fun while it lasted. I feel like with Pat Riley there, they're going to rebuild.
As long as he's there, that dude's going to die at some point.
That's true.
And they're going to have to go through one of those stretches where they actually lose big and get in the lottery, because,
yeah,
you know, right now, doesn't seem like people are... I mean, it's not the destination it was when LeBron was there, that's for sure. All right, quick break. We have a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day coming
the
up next.
The Gym of the Day.
And we're not changing the Gym of the Day song. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they, huh?
Hey, Houston, this is Daniel Cormier from the UFC, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. 512 says LeBron and Wade laughing all the way to the conference finals. LeBron, yes. Good luck with the... I don't think the Bulls are... I don't know if they're even a top four team in the East.
Yeah, Bulls are... That's a strange... It's some strange decisions that they made in free agency, because you've now got Rondo, Wade, Butler is, I guess, technically your big three.
Yeah.
If you were going to do something like that, if you were going to bring in a couple veterans like Rondo and Wade, why wouldn't you keep either Gasol or Noah?
Yeah. And... Yeah, I think Wade can still play, but he's not going to play 82 games.
No, because it just seems to me, like, bringing in Dwayne Wade just seems like we need to sell some tickets. We're probably going to be less competitive this year, but we need to sell some tickets. So will you guys come see Dwayne Wade? Hometown boy? Okay.
I still think the Raptors are better. I still think the Celtics are better.
Yeah. I think the Wizards might be better.
Yeah, I think they're better than Atlanta now. I don't know what the Knicks are going to be with the moves they've made, but all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, and quit sending suggestions for the Gym of the Day song. It's not changing, and we're not doing it one way 4 days a week and another one way. That's what it is. It's not changing, so... You guys can quit making suggestions. We're not soliciting suggestions. We're not asking for suggestions. The Gym of the Day song doesn't change. All right. We go to Mehupani, Pennsylvania. Mehupani? Where a woman sprayed gasoline on a driver who criticized her for smoking a cigarette while pumping fuel at a Pennsylvania convenience store.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's start off with, first off, if you're smoking while you're pumping gas, you deserve to get blown up. You really do. That's just
not wise.
Not
guys.
Wise.
51-year-old Kimberly Brinton.
But you shouldn't spray gasoline on people.
Well,
either.
No. Well,
Can we agree that there are two wrong parties in this situation?
Well, no, but the wrong party is the one who was smoking, because she's the one that sprayed gasoline on the other woman.
Oh, I thought that someone was like, you can't smoke around here. And she's like, I'm going to smoke if I want. And she's like, oh, yeah, bitch, I'm going to spray you with gasoline.
And that would have been a better story, because then she's just as dumb as the lady smoking for spraying gasoline.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, God, that's a really foolish reaction to a foolish act.
Yeah, which would have made it a slightly better story. But no, 51-year-old Kimberly Brinton, how do you make it to 51 by smoking while you're pumping gas?
The older people get, the less they care about rules when it comes to smoking.
Yeah.
Because there will be old people who will light up a cigarette in a McDonald's, and they don't care. They're just like, what are they going to do? Take me out of here, arrest me, send me to jail for smoking?
Because I don't give a
That's right.
She faces a preliminary hearing July 12th on aggravated assault and other charges stemming from the encounter and placed about 30 miles northwest of Scranton. But police say the driver told Brinton to extinguish...
How come every time I hear the town Scranton, I instantly think of Ballsack?
I have no idea.
Like, Scrotum and Scranton aren't that close.
No, they're not really even in the...
But I always think of that.
So that's not even in the same outfield. One guy's sitting in the Crawford boxes and the other one's playing first base.
Might make me gay.
I don't think that's what makes you gay, but...
Good.
Anyway. apparently, the driver told Brinton to extinguish her cigarette. Well, this is close. Then she threw windshield cleaner onto her in hopes of putting out the cigarette.
Ugh.
Now, I got to be honest. If you're next to me pumping gas with a cigarette, I'm going to put that damn thing out, because you're going to blow me up, too. I don't care if you blow yourself up.
Yeah.
That's okay. In fact, I'm encouraging you to blow yourself up.
But that would be a multiple casualty situation.
Yeah, you don't want
situation.
As long as there's nobody else there and it's just you. And you know what? The place will have insurance. Fine. Blow yourself up.
Yeah.
But don't blow up the person across her. So, yeah, if you're smoking a cigarette, I don't blame her for throwing windshield cleaner on her. I'd say, yeah, I'm putting that thing out. Well, when the other woman tried to drive away, she screamed that she was going to light her on fire and then sprayed gasoline all over. The other woman slipped on the gasoline getting out of her car and broke her arm.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. I'm sorry. It's sort of a funny story. You're right. It would have been better if they had actually.
I just wish there was someone saying, "I'll smoke where I damn well want to smoke." And I'm thinking, I don't know where in Pennsylvania this is exactly, but I know Pennsylvania borders West Virginia, and I like to imagine it's a part of West Virginia or a part of Pennsylvania that's close to West Virginia.
Yeah.
So it's like a lady who might have three teeth. And she is really in that I don't care phase.
Drinks moonshine?
Yeah.
So she's probably drinking moonshine with one hand, smoking with the other, and pumping with her elbow.
Yeah, like she's wearing probably shorts with black socks that go halfway up her calf and then flip-flops. Like, that's what I'm picturing. And then her just saying, I don't care. I smoke where I want to smoke. I don't care what you say to me.
Disco says my dad is 60 and smokes while he pumps gas and doesn't wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
See, he's an outlaw.
Yeah. I'd say he's gone over on how old he's supposed to be.
Yep.
He made it to 60.
Let's go with just not wise, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Hey, your Bulls are 90-1 to win the NBA, which is... better than your Houston Rockets, who are 200-1.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that the Rockets were 50-1 2 weeks ago. Then they signed Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon and Nene, and everyone was really excited about it. At least there were people on Twitter telling me that was stupid for thinking that it wasn't a brilliant Daryl Morey move. Yet, suddenly they are four times less likely to win the NBA title than they were 2 weeks ago.
Well, I think in part, almost everybody went up because Golden State went significantly down with the addition of Kevin Durant. They're now under even money.
Yeah, but 200-1? That's joke squad level. I mean,
well,
who are the other teams that are 200-1?
The Pelicans? No, the Pelicans are 150, excuse me. Orlando's 200. Dallas is 400. I think Dallas is better
than the Rockets.
Hornets 500. See, that's a problem. Everybody, because of the way Golden State and Cleveland are such heavy favorites, your third choice is San Antonio at 12.
But think about this.
Your fourth choice is Boston at 35-1.
The Pelicans didn't make the playoffs last year, and they are 25% more likely to make the playoffs, according to Vegas, than the or to win the championship than the Rockets.
Yeah, I think in part it's basically I think it's that's too high, but I think everybody's too high because the top two are so low. I mean, when you're the Toronto Raptors, who made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, are 70-1. And that's because basically they're saying nobody wins but Golden State or Cleveland. Maybe San Antonio at 12. That's it.
I mean, I wouldn't bet on any team besides those three.
Yeah, and I don't think there's enough value, and I don't think San Antonio's high enough for me.
What's the number on the Los Angeles Lakers?
The Los Angeles Lakers are 500-1. Along value. With Sacramento, along with Charlotte.
Value play.
Your longest shots at 1,250-1. If you are a fan of the Brooklyn Nets or Phoenix Suns, you can get paid.
Put a dollar on it, huh?
No. Waste a dollar. Wizards, 130-1. Does that do anything for you?
They're what to one?
130-1.
It's pretty decent.
All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.